Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 346, recorded in the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin, Mike, down in Florida. How you doing today, Michael?
I'm doing well. How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad.
Good.
What's new?
Nothing.
Nothing? Are you getting into season?
Yeah.
Getting into season. Now, we had a little discussion. You said that your area doesn't get hit with the snowbirds, but you're starting to see a little bit of influx of the out-of-state plates out and about.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
That's a bad sign for you, isn't it?
It doesn't affect me up here because the traffic doesn't get worse. And
no, but like golf rates go up and everything.
Yeah.
A little bit. So,
yeah.
Because your summer membership's coming to an end.
Yep.
So now you're back to public golf.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yes. Potentially.
I'm back in, I have my handicap again, Bill.
I noticed that. I was so happy. I checked yesterday.
So I had to, I called Lake Buena Vista.
Did you get anybody on the phone?
Yeah, Rivers. Rivers was on. You call their pro shop and you just hit button one and you get somebody in like 2 seconds.
It's really?
Probably the easiest way to get a live person on the phone at Disney. Is call one of the golf courses. But I called over there, talked to the kid. And I was like,
I'm such a 6-year-old.
I called last week and gave all my information, my credit card, and I was like, no, it never got turned on.
Did they charge you?
Yeah. So what happened was he told me, so I'm on the phone with him. He's like, oh, well, I promise I'll get this taken care of right away. Well, you know, give me an hour and I'll call you back. He said, I'm going to look into it, make sure it gets taken care of. He's like, did you get charged? I said, I haven't even checked yet, to be honest. And he's like, okay. And he wrote down all my information. And then he said, let me look into it. So he called me back like 25 minutes later. He said, oh, this is Rivers from Walt Disney World Golf. I just wanted to let you know that there's just a button in there that you have to click you over to active. And we just didn't do that. So you're now active. Everything's all set. So he clicked me over and was all taken care of. So I didn't realize, I was playing around on the website, you can look in your club and you can see everyone who has a handicap at the
club. Can you only do that on the website? Because I've been having trouble doing it on the app.
I haven't tried on the app, but on the website, I could go see everyone who has a handicap at Walt Disney World.
Is there quite a bit?
No, there's not that many. There's probably only like 100 or so.
Oh, wow.
But there's like three guys that are like plus 2.8s.
Really?
Yeah, I wonder if they work there, if they're like the assistant pros and stuff there that play it, because all their scores are from there. I
know. Yeah, because I know, like, when I worked at a club, that's where I had my handicap.
Yeah, so those guys that work there probably keep their handicap there. But one guy, I was looking at his scores in like 9. It only gives you the month, but he's out there like Magnolia 69, Palm 71, Magnolia 71.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, that's pretty good. And you know someone like that, they're playing from the back tees, too.
Oh, yeah.
There's good golfers out there, Bill. We're not a couple of them, but they're out there.
Do you have anybody on your favorites yet?
Just you.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. Who else am I going to put? Do you know if someone's on your favorites? Like, do you know that you're on my favorites?
No, I can't tell.
Oh,
that,
so I could put like Donald J. Trump on my favorites and just keep like,
yeah, his, probably. Yeah.
I could just keep track of his handicap if I wanted.
Yeah, because I got like 7 people on mine.
Do you? Who do you have on yours?
Oh, like my old boss at the Oaks. This one guy who was a super nice guy at the public course I worked at. Mr. Casciano, George Woods. Oh, he keeps it.
Yeah. Mr. Casciano keeps a...
yeah, so you should have to click him then.
I will. I'll find out. Where's he play out of?
University Park.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. I'll have to check it out. The gin system is very easy to manipulate, isn't it? There's not a lot of security to it.
What do you mean?
You don't need a lot of information to track people down on there.
No.
Or really, I could probably log into yours and enter scores.
I don't know if it's that easy.
Without much. I think it is. I'm not sure. I'm not going to try. I'm not looking.
Yeah, because actually, like, just to log in, you just need your gin number and then last name.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so if I did know your gin number, then it's not a problem.
But I think, isn't it on there if I follow you? Can't
no,
I see your gin number?
No. It's only on your card. It only shows it on your card. So if you ever click my card.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see. Either way, I'm not looking to do
that. Would be great if I just started entering scores for you.
All of a sudden, I'm down to like a +4.
Yeah, like, you got like the member coming up in a week, and all of a sudden you're like, all right, what's your handicap? Yeah, I'm a 15.3, and it's like, no, you're actually like a +2. You got to give us strokes, like,
Also, I got like Pebble Beach, Pinehurst #2, all the places you put me in for scores. Do you play this week? You played,
Played yesterday.
Yesterday, how was that?
Yeah, very good.
How's the course, in good condition?
Yeah, it's getting really, really nice because October and the Nova greens are gorgeous.
Yeah, I played Cranston today.
What spurred that?
The guy I work with asked if I wanted to play, so I played.
So you played with him, and how many did you have a foursome?
We got paired up with one other guy. So it was 3 of us, and we went off at like 1 something. It was slow on the front, real slow.
Was it really?
Yeah, there were a couple groups that were slow.
People are thinking this might be it, huh?
It might be it. Yeah, I think so. But it was nice. Their greens were running a little slow. I couldn't get a good.
Oh, really? Because their greens are usually pretty nice.
They are. They were in good shape. Everything was in good shape. They just seemed a little shaggy. So I don't know if they are not cutting them every day now, getting later in the season, or what. But it's been a little warm, so they're probably still growing pretty quick.
Did you do any good balls, swings?
Yeah, there was a lot of that out there.
Was there?
I hit my drive good a few times on the front. I hit had a good front 9. The back, not so good. Couple triples on the back. That's never good.
What'd you struggle on the back?
Getting off the tee. My tee shot just left me, so then I was in the woods losing balls. That par 5, you know the par 5 where...
Over water?
Yeah, the one that, it's the first par 5 on the back.
10, 11, like 12, I think. It's 12 or 13?
It's 12, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I hit my tee shot right into the woods, couldn't find it. And then
you can't go much right on that hole.
No, exactly. And then I hit my second shot just short of the water, and then I chunked it into the water, and then had to chip up. And so,
one in, two out. 3, 4 in the water, 5 up, 6
on, missed 7, 8, 7 in for 8. Yeah.
Good thing you made it on too, because now if you miss,
now I'm at a 9.
That's a miserable shot too in front of the water, because it's like a little 70-yard pitch, right?
Yeah, it wasn't even that much. It was probably 50. Yards, whatever it was, and I just bloop right in.
I mean, there's been times where I've sculled that thing right into the backwoods over there. Now you're dropping, 9, 11, 13.
You're getting up. You're getting up where you have to take your socks off to count your strokes.
So where the wind's shifting now because of the time of year. So now all the par 5s are downwind.
No, we were into the wind.
No, I'm talking about where I play.
Oh,
Sarah.
Where you play. Okay.
So I bomb drive. I hit 5 iron, and you don't know what I'm talking about, but I clear the bunkers. I'm in front of the green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Little 60-degree, I end up sculling it. And I've been chipping good because I've been practicing a lot. I scull it over the green. I come up. I make 6, right? And I look at Kurt, and I said, you can't make bogey when you're in front of a par 5 and 2.
And 2. Like,
and he's
like,
yeah, that's awful. He's like, that's just – that kills
you. Like,
you
sculled it, like, was it like 40 yards, or you were like a chip shot short?
What, on my second shot?
Yeah, after your second shot.
Yeah, and it was sitting up in the rough, too, and I don't know what I did. Yeah, I might have had like 30 yards, like –
But it was just a basic chip. It wasn't like you had a three-quarter little shot.
No. Just like a little, in between a chip and a pitch. Just get it on. And
you just sculled it right through.
Two putt for, and then I sculled it, and then I'm just irritated.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, I had a couple three putts out there today. I just couldn't get the putting rhythm down. I didn't make anything. Hit some good shots, though. Overall, not too upset with the way I played. So this week, I don't know if this counts. This could be our first official beer sponsor of the week. Lord Hobo Brewing.
Okay.
Out of Woburn, Mass. I was sent this beer from a listener.
Huh?
To have,
wait,
yeah.
You're getting comp beer now?
Apparently I am, which is very nice. From Lord Hobo Brewing. This is the Freebird Golden Ale out of Woburn, Mass. So the gentleman who listens works for them, works for the brewery. And he contacted me and said, hey, I'd love to send you some beer for the podcast. And I said, sure, free beer. That sounds good to me. So we already know the score is going to be very skewed on this because...
So we've completely become Tim Trackers right now.
Sold out. I mean, if you give me something for free, you get, you know, this is already the lowest this is going to be is like an 8.9.
We've become Tim Trackers now. They're putting us up at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and this is the best room I've ever been in.
Hey, whatever pays the bills, whatever puts food on the table. So this is the Freebird Golden Ale, 5% alcohol by volume. Out of Lord Hobo Brewing in Woburn, Mass. One sip, everybody knows the rules. It's actually pretty good. Very, you would like, I think this is one you would actually like, Bill.
Oh, it's something really.
It's a golden ale, so it's a light, refreshing.
Nice and pale like this one?
Yeah, pretty, well, mine's in the can, but probably pretty pale like that. It's got that, it's got a Bud Heavy taste to it. So it's not like Bud Light.
It's not like Bud Light. All right. So it's a little like heavier. A Bud Heavy.
So you would probably still like it. Like I said, you send me free beer, you automatically get a bump up.
Okay.
I'm going to give it, it's pretty good. So you get like an extra 3 points. I'm going to give it a 9.1.
Okay.
You know, free beer, that's always better than beer you pay for, isn't it?
Not in my books.
Oh, that's true.
I'd rather pay for a Bud Light than have a free IPA.
That's a good point. He did send a couple IPAs that I'm not looking forward to trying.
I mean, when Schaefer, I mean, it's like drinking a pine tree, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll see next week. The next couple of weeks, I'll try them and I'll give more honest scores on those because I don't think I'll love them, but maybe I'll be surprised. This one I do like a lot. 9.1's a little high. That's my free beer score. It's probably a good solid 7.5, though.
Do they have a website? Did you want to give their information out now that they're our official sponsor?
I don't know if they want to be associated with this. It looks like you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lord Hobo Brewing. So why don't you go ahead and do that, and I'll tag them on Instagram. But Freebird, Golden Ale, Lord Hobo Brewing.
We got
Brewing.
A 16-ouncer there, too, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Little mini oil can there.
Tall boys, yep. Anything else here? Should we take a break?
Let's take a break.
All right, we are back from break, episode number 346 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. And this week, we are going to talk about some news.
That Bibbidi Boppity Boop song, I felt like I'm at a resort and I've just watched the Stacy Channel 15 times and I have to switch over to the park hours.
Yeah, that's
like fantastic.
That's a good, even though it's not like a park song, it just reminds you of being in the resort, doesn't it?
Yeah, just like watching Epcot hours.
Mm-hmm. it comes on like
noon to three.
Speaking of, right? That's part of the news. Get everything done. There's only three rides open in Epcot right now.
You can come in and grab lunch and hit Spaceship Earth and get the hell out of here.
Thank you for your $110 to get in. Single day tickets available, $114 person plus tax. Don't forget. It's a value, right?
It's so bad even bums like me can make rope drop. I get up and have a cup of coffee, breakfast at Olivia's, fart around,
play nine holes at Oak Trail.
Play that quick nine where you get like a breakfast sandwich, a cup of coffee.
Oh, I still got time for rope drop. Just hop on the monorail, make it a rope drop. You got your clubs on your shoulder.
Crap, it's so dumb. Sun's going down. We have a rope drop out.
It's like in Caddyshack with the caddy day at the pool. It was like 2:15 to 2:30 for caddy day.
So 15 minutes. And they got into so much trouble.
they knocked the lifeguard chair over into the pool.
Oh, they got in 15 minutes. They got into so much trouble. It was great.
That movie's so good, isn't it?
It's so fantastic.
It's one of the best movies, Caddyshack. Anyway, so we're going to talk some news. We have a little bit of news from Walt Disney World. Then we're going to kind of go across the country and talk some Disneyland news because there's some big stories coming out in California. Let's start with the Walt Disney World.
Did you have any plan of doing that? Or when you checked your message, you were like, oh, thank God, this is good stuff.
Yeah, so what I was going to do...
playing golf saying, can we record Sunday, bud?
So, I was going to... Jorgina wants to be on the show. She wants to defend her trivia title against you again. So I was going to try to come up with some quick trivia questions, but this is a little easier. We'll do that in the next couple
weeks. That because I'm taking her down. I'm not no more of this Mr. Nice Guy. I'm taking her down.
She was talking trash the other day.
There we go. I like that.
Yeah. But she likes it. She said, I want to be on the podcast again. All right. Anyway, so the first article you sent me was about park hours reduced. I already thought that it's hard to reduce. What's less than zero? Park hours reduced in January at all Walt Disney World parks. So, says, although theme park hours were extended for Christmas week, park hours are going back to their pre-holiday schedule at Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. Previously, they had only released park hours through January 2nd. Now the calendar is showing January 3rd through 9th. Epcot will be open 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. How did a park opening at noon? That's ridiculous. Disney Hollywood Studios will open 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Animal Kingdom 9 to 5. Meanwhile, Magic Kingdom park hours are reduced even further than their pre-holiday schedule. So previously they had released park hours, like I said, and then for January 3rd through 9th, Magic Kingdom will be open 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily, an hour less than the previous closing time of 7 p.m. There are usually major drops in attendance following the weeks of Christmas and New Year, so it's no surprise. There's often a bump around Martin Luther King weekend, which was when we were there. That was probably the busiest time I can remember. Wasn't that Martin Luther King weekend when we were there?
Yeah, when it took me 2 hours to get to Epcot.
Yeah.
You guys were already going back to have the girls take naps.
Yeah, take naps.
And I was just getting there. That was awful.
That was terrible. I think that's the busiest day I've ever been at the parks was Martin Luther King. In January, one of their slow times. So, I don't know. What do you think of? Obviously, they're still reducing hours, but it seems like crowds are picking up, or at least wait times seem like they're increasing. When you look at the wait times online, it seems like that's starting to climb back up. The more people going in, or it's just because the hours are so reduced.
I don't know. I mean,
when you went, when were you there? 3 weeks ago now?
Yeah.
And you said it was still a ghost town except for Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, Magic Kingdom was decent, but
did it ever feel crowded besides Hollywood Studios at Magic Kingdom? Like, did you feel like you were?
No, because the perfect gauge is Main Street.
Right.
Because even when there's nothing going on Main Street, Main Street.
Still like elbow to elbow, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, and Main Street felt really dead.
I've just been seeing some pictures online in the last week, and it seems like there's more crowds, like even like pictures at Epcot and World Showcase, seems like there's more just people packed in there.
I mean, they're still at 25%, so.
Yeah, so it's the same capacity, obviously. So I don't know if just more people are staying longer because there's less hours. So
You might be getting more people in because even I've read like 25% at Epcot still pretty damn crowded.
Yeah, it's probably like 25,000 people.
Yeah, so it's, because I think their capacity is 100 to 110. So you're probably right, somewhere around 25. I heard they used to average like in the 30s to 40s. So these levels aren't terrible. Like, I honestly don't think that they were ever even hitting the 25%.
Oh, back like when they, but they like, were still closing off reservations, yeah. Though.
Yeah. See, I don't know. I'd be shocked. Like, when they first, we're going to limit it to 25. I don't ever think that they were even hitting the 25. Yeah.
Maybe they said that and they left it at 10% or something.
Mm hmm.
Because it was so low. But, you just see things online, and it's all kind of anecdotal, but it seems like people are saying it's getting more crowded. There's more waits for everything, and, you know, like, when you were there, you had to wait, 110-minute posted wait time for the Mickey and Minnie thing at one point, and then, you know, the Star Wars stuff, and 40 minutes for the Mine Train. Not that that's out of the ordinary or anything, but for right now, seems like it's starting to pick up. I'll be interested to see some of their traditionally heavy weeks like Thanksgiving and going into Christmas, how big the crowds will be. You know, because a lot of people, I don't know, are people still going to not travel? It seems like people are starting to even travel there now.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was a lot of locals, now it seems like people are starting to vacation there again.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's anecdotal because when you follow people on Twitter and Facebook, it's all the crazy Disney people that are going to go anyway, for the most part. But I just wonder how much it's picking up. And at this point, they don't have to keep it reduced to 25. They could go 100% capacity right now if they wanted to. Yeah,
they can.
Which I don't think they would fill up with that because I don't think they're turning people away yet, really.
No.
So it's not like they are holding back on anything necessarily. Just kind of let the market dictate what it is. It seems like the people are kind of keeping it at lower capacities because a lot of people are probably nervous to go, and a lot of people don't find the value in traveling right now, which I'm kind of in between both of those. The value thing's definitely leading out. Like, the money doesn't make sense to me to try to travel down there.
No.
But even the other, like, this, you know, the safety part weighs into it because I could say, oh, I could maybe doing all this other stuff, but it's like, I don't really want to travel, especially with travel bans coming out of different states and everything like that. It's kind of a crazy situation. Numbers are picking up again now, you know, in the Northeast.
Just reading your girl, she said, we're staying at phase three till there's a vaccine now. We're staying at phase three till there's a vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, at least phase three is, at least that she's not looking to move back yet. But Rhode Island had their highest number of cases just 2 days ago.
Yeah.
But there's also, they compared it. They said, well, on the last day that was that high, it was April something, and we had 2,800 tests, and then October, whatever it was, had 17,000 tests. Yeah. And there was a few more positive. It's like, okay, so it's really just goes to show how many more people probably had it early on didn't get tested.
Absolutely.
Doesn't mean it's not still prevalent or getting worse necessarily right now, but it's hard to compare April and March's numbers to now because the testing is so different.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in April, you couldn't get tested. Like, you needed to be pretty sick like to even get tested.
You had to be picked, right? Because you had a coworker or something?
Yeah, exactly. But then now you...
But then again, of course, you could have lied back then, right? Like, they didn't trace, did they? You just call and say, hey, my coworker.
No, I had to lie to get tested. To see, for the CVS test, I had to, like, my work wanted me to get tested. In order to get tested, I had to like go onto the CVS thing and say that I had a cough and a fever. I had to have like two things.
But wasn't there somebody who had it?
Yeah,
and that's why they weren't. Oh, so you couldn't get it unless you.
I couldn't get a test unless I lied.
Oh, I see.
Like my work wanted me to get it, and they said you can't come back until you get it. But I couldn't get a test. I had to like lie and said I had symptoms to get tested.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I thought you, if you just said that you had a coworker who you sit next to 8 hours a day, then they would give it to you. But
well, now, yes. But back then in April, no.
Okay. There's
still so few tests.
Okay.
So anyway, back on track. Anything else you want to talk about with the hours? I wouldn't expect them to pick back up anytime soon.
Well, they're extending all their deals now through the first of the year.
I saw it through the first. It's longer that you.
Well,
it's
going through like April or something. But yeah I mean, it's insane.
For
because they usually just do this thing right up to Christmas, and then
yeah,
that you're pretty much done, and then you start sniffing some in the summer. Yeah, that's when usually Susan and I try to. Yeah, but not like almost like indefinite like it is right now.
Because it's and they're pretty deep discounts too.
Yeah, they're good discounts.
35% or whatever, 40%.
Yeah.
And your DVC site still has some pretty good deals, I'd imagine.
Did you see that Bay Lake Tower for under 200?
Yeah, it was like four nights though.
But it was like it was five. It was five, and I'm like, yeah, I can't.
As much as you want to. That's the problem. The short ones probably get gobbled up real quick, I would imagine.
Yeah, especially weekends. But I mean that place is $450 all day. I mean, for under
that's assuming a studio as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Still. That's the next one on your bucket list, isn't it, Bay Lake?
As far as DVC, because I still want to do that A-frame. I still want to do that A-frame and just come out my door and see that monorail.
Bay Lake Tower is so nice, though.
It is. It's
those gorgeous. Rooms are fantastic.
They are.
All right, should we move across the country to Disneyland?
Yeah.
All right, so the first story I'll get into is how, according to new regulations of California, Disneyland's unlikely to reopen anytime soon. And that's the headline of this article. So it says here, no secret that Florida and California's approaches to reopening during COVID have been different. Theme parks have felt that difference as much as, if not more than any type of business. Or obviously Walt Disney World opened in July after 4 months of closure. Disneyland in Anaheim has been waiting 3 additional months for its turn. And it doesn't seem the gates will reopen anytime soon. Yesterday, and this was posted a few days ago, so earlier this week, California health officials finally released the state's long-awaited theme park reopening guidelines. If Disney had any plans of reopening in 2020, those hopes have probably been dashed with these announcements. I want to kind of interject here.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
What would happen if they just opened? They don't have really any authority, the state, to keep places closed. Like, I know they're going the right routes, but if they just, I mean, what are they going to arrest the people going? They're just going to find Disneyland. They'll just take them to court. You know, I don't know.
The amount of money that they're losing, you're probably better off paying a $20,000 per day fine or whatever.
Well, yeah, whatever.
Or whatever they whack you.
Yeah. But anyway, it says, unless something radically changes, Disneyland will likely have to wait quite a bit longer for its Orange County home to hit the metrics required for theme park reopening, perhaps well into 2021.
Do you see those metrics?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable, like, isn't it?
It's like
one person out of one in 100,000?
Yeah, less than one per 100,000. Many other larger theme parks in the state, like Universal Hollywood, Legoland, and SeaWorld, are in a similar boat. And then it says the new blueprint for a safer economy. They have to be in the minimal, less than one daily new case per 100,000. So that's the one they have to be in, the yellow, which is their like most restrictive one. It says it's important to understand the state's general economic reopening framework. Back in August, Governor Gavin Newsom unveiled the blueprint for a safer economy. Four colored tiers, which we're talking about. Purple is the widespread risk. Red is substantial risk. Orange is moderate. And yellow is minimal. Counties are assigned to one of these risk tiers based upon their COVID-19 case rate per 100,000 residents and their overall positivity rate. I'm just trying to breeze through this a little bit. So now, the theme parks had not even been given a place in the color tier system, but they were left entirely in the dark when trying to target opening dates and potential operating restrictions. California theme park guidelines released finally placed theme parks in their colored tier framework. The guidelines distinguish between smaller local theme parks and bigger players like Disneyland and Universal. Smaller theme parks are defined as ones with an operating capacity of no more than 15,000 guests. These parks may reopen outdoor attractions only when their home county is in the orange tier. Capacity is set at 25% or 500 people, whichever is less. So imagine being a 15,000 capacity park and you can let in 500 people. Like, at that, is it even worth opening at that point?
Probably not.
And they're only allowed to permit guests who reside in the same county. Larger theme parks must wait until their home county is in the lowest yellow risk before reopening at all. While guests at these large theme parks won't be limited based upon residence park capacity, will be limited to 25%. While that capacity is likely in line with what Disney World is doing right now, the main reopening problem lies within the tier in which Disneyland's home county resides. They're in Orange County, and Orange County is currently classified in the red tier. That means that in order for Disneyland to reopen, Orange County must move down not one but two tiers. They can move down no sooner than 3 weeks later once they move down to one, which means the very best case scenario for Disneyland reopening could look like this. October 27th, they meet the orange requirements, and then it would take till November 10th to be in the orange tier, and they have to post numbers to meet the yellow tier, and then December 1st would be the soonest they could move into the yellow tier. And that's just like a perfect case scenario, which doesn't seem very realistic. Under the best real world scenario, 2020 reopening seems all but certainly off the table. It will need several weeks after being cleared to reopen to bring back and retrain cast members. Of course, this depends on Orange County's numbers, blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot to digest in this article. And I could keep reading it, but that's probably pretty boring. It just seems like at what point, you know, Disneyland probably is immune to it. But at what point does a place like SeaWorld or Legoland just say we can't even reopen ever under these, not under the guidelines, but they're just going to crush them economically and they won't even be able to afford to reopen?
Draconian measures are just, they're laughable.
It doesn't make really a lot of sense, especially with Florida doing it and no outbreaks have been linked to any of the parks.
See, I love, you know, California. Oh, we're going to send a bunch of suits out to Orlando and see how they're doing it there. Why didn't you guys do that 4 months ago when Florida opened up?
Right.
So now, so you came out there and you saw what they did and they haven't had any outbreaks. And you go back to California and say, they did it all wrong. What was the reason if you already have the, well, you can't do it until there's only one person in the county pods who has this thing.
Right.
Like, if that was your rule, then why'd you even go out to see how Florida opened up?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And obviously, you know, like Universal and Disney are doing it in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been no outbreaks directly linked to the parks reopening.
Mm-hmm.
Any of them. Because you know that'd be all over the news if it was. I haven't heard about, obviously, the numbers are pretty steady in Florida. I know they were going way up at first.
Yeah, they're steady. It's going up a tiny bit, but nothing like.
But it's not like it's low. It's not going down necessarily. They're steadily kind of where they are.
Yeah.
And but nothing's been linked back with tracing to the theme parks.
Right.
Which it's hard to do, granted, if someone tests positive, especially in another state, if they had just traveled there. But I mean, you would find out eventually if that was the case.
Of course you would. Of course you would.
And it would make big news, but nothing's really come out. So obviously the parks, I feel like, are doing it the right way. So what makes you think that, like, Disneyland would do a poor job when Disney World's doing a good job? And why, like, crumbling the economy? There's such a satellite economy to Disneyland as well. All those little mom and pop hotels, all the people that work there, obviously. these little restaurants outside the, not just the theme park. It's not like, oh, just Disney. They could survive it. They make
but all your like little Denny, like Denny's and McDonald's.
Yeah, but
and
even like
places outside,
not even big gate. Chain restaurants, like regular places, like little hotels that are just family owned. Like you said, just outside the gates, and it's just
good neighbors.
The heck with them. I don't know. It's just a crazy restrictive thing, like without any input either. It's just, it seems arbitrary.
It's just, it that's all it is.
It's like, well, why is this? Why can people go to bars, cram into like an indoor bar, but they can't go ride, you know, the teacups at Disneyland, which is open and, you know, 25% capacity and all that? Like, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me. Meanwhile, Downtown Disney's open. They can go, you could go there and eat and drink and hang out there, but you can't go 100
socially
yards
socially distance and go on the Haunted Mansion.
Right. I don't understand, like, the capacity limit's fine. Obviously, that's something that needs to be done, I guess, at this point. You know, I understand, you know, you could say maybe let it go and see what happens, but I don't subscribe to that. And if you want to put, you know, capacity measures in place, I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing, saying let's start at this percent and, you know, work up from there, see how things go. But it's not like they're going to do it irresponsibly. It's not like they're just saying, okay, there's this like college frat, you can have one keg party this weekend, but do it right. You know, they're not going to be able to do the like,
right.
Like, it's in Disney's best interest to do it right, because they don't want to screw it up and have.
Well,
a bunch
we believe
of
that we get. Believe that because we like the market,
right? But wouldn't they? I believe. I mean, we give them crap sometimes, but I don't think Disney wants to be linked to any outbreaks. One for public,
isn't it? Because that's what I'm saying. It's in their best intention not to have an outbreak
for their you know profit. What I mean?
Oh,
whatever the reason is.
Only care about is money, Ponce. Well, then open it up to 100% if that's the case.
Right? Pack the bars. They said bars can be open. You can't find a bar at Disney World or at any of the resorts.
Right. Exactly. It's in their best interest to not have any cases because they know they'll get bad publicity, less people will go, and they run the risk of being closed down. Especially in California,
Florida, Billy. Florida. They don't have to worry about that, Billy.
I understand that.
Ronnie's all in. He's got his chips in. Let's go.
Come hell or high water, they're all.
Amen, man. People need to make a living.
But but what I'm saying is, in California, if they said, "Okay, you can reopen at this," you're damn sure Disney's going to follow the rules because they don't want. Them to come down and close them back down again because of something. So, you know, give people a chance to succeed at it. Like, just like the schools, give the schools a chance to do it. It seems like the schools have been doing pretty good.
I mean, haven't asked you, but you've had no problems, right?
Not yet. Knock on wood. You know,
now did they explain all the safety measures to you and the wife? Did you guys tour the school or did they how did they present
tours
that
of the school,
you?
But we did like a Zoom meeting and they talked about that. You know, the kids have to wear the mask. They get to go outside and have mask breaks, but they still have to be socially distanced. And
you haven't any problems where she goes?
Not at her school. I mean, one of the schools in Cranston, there was one case and they closed the school for a week and did distance learning. They don't know. They can't say if it was a teacher or a student, so I don't know. But there was one positive case at a different school, so they closed the school down and whatever, whether it's 10 days, I forget what it is, but I understand that's kind of the cost of doing business. But, you know, she's been in class every day, 5 days a week, you know, and it's been good so far. But give it a chance. Like, that's the thing. Let's try. At least try. See if we can make it work. And then if it gets messed up, all right, then we can go back to what we've been doing and kind of deal with the repercussions. But you got to give these places a chance to succeed. Like, a lot of the town, like, I know Chicago just closed bars again, but they gave them a chance to do it, and obviously it wasn't working under the metrics they put in place. Even Florida, that happened, right, when they first reopened the bars
originally.
They had to pull it back. So, you know, everyone's,
and again, I think it almost has to be a case by case. Like, you have you have bars who are playing by the rules, and then you have other places that say screw it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, do we penalize everybody? Hey, I'm running my bar.
We're all wearing masks. We're all doing the social distancing. Mm-hmm. We haven't had a problem here. Just because this jerk in the strip club isn't playing by the rules, shut him down. Why are you shutting me down? Like, I don't like this one size fits all thing.
No, but I'm saying, like, with Disneyland, give them a chance. And if they mess up, then they have to pay the price by closing down again or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't say, okay, so somebody got sick at Legoland, so now Disneyland has to close.
Yeah, right. I mean, I don't understand this. They're just
very fair either.
Just picking industries to destroy.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing right now. That's what Newsom's doing.
And that doesn't little punk. I don't understand how that benefits him in any way. It's just a power trip at this point.
I'm not even gonna touch that.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense, you know, in any way you look at it.
I know why he's doing it, but we don't need to discuss this.
All right. Well, in that note,
Tim, if you're listening, be you. Can I interject?
I don't know. Is this a good idea?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was talking to a cast member, and she had been there for a while, and she was talking about California.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, don't quote me. This is what she said. She said, from what we've heard from higher ups, that if California even had a soft opening, we wouldn't have lost 28,000 jobs.
Hmm.
Said this is a complete trickle down from California.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the entertainment sits.
True.
And because we're closed down there, it's hurting us a lot more than it should.
Yeah, especially with movies and everything too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big part of it. Yeah, I mean, who knows if that's true or not. You hear it and you believe what they say, but you know, cast members don't necessarily know all the inner workings of everything either. Some do, some might not. I tend to believe that, though. It makes sense to me.
It makes complete sense to me. And if you don't want to believe it, that's fine. I'm just saying, you know, not you personally. I'm just saying people who listen. Yeah. But, I mean, that's what she told me. And you wonder sometimes people leak stuff because they want it to get out.
That's true, too.
Because Iger's made no qualms about how angry he is.
I don't think they're too thrilled with,
they're not very
with
thrilled.
Mr. Newsom, are they?
No.
No.
That little weasel.
Him
just his hair makes me want to slap him. He's got that Mitt Romney thing going, that little punk.
The plastic hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, on the note of Disneyland, which this is kind of bizarre that they're doing this, but I guess they're going to try to get whatever they can. California Venture is going to open in November for restaurants and shopping. So they're going to let people in the park. They can go to the restaurants, they can shop, but they can't go on any rides. Again, how does that make
that's
so fantastic. you're only possible to transmit COVID when you're riding Soarin', not when you're eating
all day long. Right.
So you can eat at a restaurant without a mask on, but when you go on a ride with a mask on,
correct,
it's not as safe.
Correct. Like, I saw somebody who was like an anti-masker, and it was so funny because he said he was talking about how contagious you are. Mm-hmm. He said, and when you're on an airplane, he said, when you take the mask down to take a sip of water, you just say, go away, coronavirus. He said, and you take your sip of water, and then when you put your mask back on, it's like, okay, now coronavirus, you can come back. Just make it like you're talking about. It's absolutely ridiculous how it's not transmittable. When you're walking around to go buy some t-shirts, but somehow it is when you're socially distanced going on Soarin'. It's so stupid.
But like you hear the experts and they say, you know, the worst place to be is an indoor restaurant or an indoor bar
mm-hmm.
where people aren't wearing their masks, even if they're socially distanced because the ventilation's not as good. You know, people, because they're eating and drinking, they're not wearing their masks. So, you know, they let their guard down a little. But when you're on a ride, I mean, you were just there. They make sure your mask is on the whole time, waiting in line and getting on the, you know, as much as they can.
As much as they can, right.
I know, obviously, when you're on the Haunted Mansion on your own little, your own ride vehicle, they can't make sure your mask is on the whole time. But
yep.
For the rest of the time, they're pretty vigilant about it. So it's just, it doesn't make sense. Like you said, they kind of pick and choose which things are safe and which things aren't. And I understand some things can be considered less essential. I mean, when it comes down to it, is going to a theme park an essential thing to do? No.
I don't know. I think after being locked in your damn house for 9 months, it's pretty damn essential right now.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, it's not like a life or death thing to, have to go there, but like neither is, like you said, shopping for a t-shirt if you want to get that. You know, there's a lot of things that we're allowed to do now that aren't necessarily quote-unquote essential, or I don't know, it just seems so arbitrary, the things, like you said, there's picking and choosing which things. It's like, so you can go eat at Disneyland in downtown Disney, or even go into the theme park and eat, but 200 yards this way, you can't go on the giant Ferris wheel and be 12 feet from the nearest person.
Right.
But you could go sit at a restaurant and be 4 feet from the nearest person and have your meal with no mask on.
Yep. Okay. Logical.
Makes sense to me.
Is it clear now?
Yep. I got it. And I'm like, and I mean, I know you and I are pretty much in agreement on the mask thing. Like, I think it helps. I think it's important when you're out in public to wear it. And I don't have a problem with private businesses asking you to wear it in order to, you know, go to those private businesses like Disney World. They don't have to. The state of Florida is not forcing them to have guests wear masks, but that's their decision. And that's part of the, you if you want to go, you have to do that. That's their rules.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to follow their rules. I don't have a problem with that. I think it helps, in my opinion. You know, I'm a big mask guy. I like the masks.
You are a mask guy. As of right now. Yeah, you're a big mask guy.
And so I'm not trying to make this like a mask versus no mask thing. I just want people to be consistent. Like, if you could do this while social distancing and wearing a mask, why can't you do this while social distancing? Like, you could go in California, you could probably go to a vineyard, right? And go wine tasting,
probably,
and do all that because there's only 800 people that could go, so they have whatever. It's like, it's just so arbitrary. Why are they picking out these things to not be able to do? It's all political. All politicians are weasels.
They are. They're all punks. They all need to be slapped.
I agree with that.
You little punk.
On that note, should we take our second break?
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of Soren. We are back for break. Episode number 346 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast is in the books. Some more news and a lot of Disneyland talk this week.
Yeah.
Well, it was in the news. It was a big story. I don't know. It's not even it's not a theme park thing. It's not a Disney thing. It's just a hypocrisy thing that drives me nuts on it. So I don't know. I don't really have anything else to add. It's just frustrating. And, you know, just when you think things are maybe going to start getting better, and then now, you know, it seems like things are getting worse, and who knows? Maybe in 8 or 9 days, things will be very different if you catch my drift.
Yeah, I think things might start opening up, if you will.
We'll see. We'll see what happens in 8 or 9 days. I suppose. I don't know. I'm not looking forward to this winter. I think it's going to be a really crappy, tough winter. Like, when everything started in March, it was like, at least we had spring coming up in the summer. Like, you had stuff
something to look forward to, but now you're getting hit with the double whammy.
We're getting hit with the second wave, and now they're setting the clocks back next week. It's going to start getting cold. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do. Golf's going to be out of
this crap.
And then, yeah, now
everything. Like, at least, you know, if I if I do what I'm hoping to do next week, I'm going to be on the golf course all the time.
Yeah.
Like you would love to deal with this misery being on the golf course all the time.
Yeah, it wouldn't be as bad. I'm an essential worker though, Bill. So it doesn't matter. I'm working. It's tough.
You're a good provider, Billy.
I guess so. Something like that. I don't know. Is there anything else that you want to add here?
Yeah, I want to just talk about the golf shot I hit on 6. I drove it right in.
Yeah.
I smoked it. So I end up in the right.
Now, what's the sixth hole?
Sixth hole is just a straightaway par 4.
Okay.
Elevated green, though. So if you pipe a drive, you got like 120 in. So you sometimes pitch and wedge, gap wedge.
But it's an elevated. Like way up or like.
No, it's not way up, but you got to land it. You got to land it on the green. Okay. So I'm in the right bunker. So I take my distance and I hit a gap wedge and I caught it clean out of that bunker. Cause I'm like, you know, this is one of those where even if you have hit it halfway decent, it's still 20 yards short.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. The fairway bunker. And I grooved this thing and I watched it hit, and the action it had was like almost when I was young and I used to take huge divots. Like this thing.
Oh, coming out of the bunker, you got the spin on it.
It wasn't the hesitation, like where it rolls a little bit and then comes back. Like this thing hit and just, I'm like, oh, that's pretty. That's pretty.
You wish you knew you could do that every time.
Oh, man. Because you know when you're hitting a full shot of the fairway bunker, this could be at my feet.
It's anywhere,
this could really go bad fast.
It could go poorly, yeah. I was in one bunker today, and I putted out of it.
You putted out of a bunker?
Yeah, it had, like, the lip was worn out, and it was right next to the green, and I putted out. It came out. I got it to, like, 3 feet. Missed the putt, though. Par 3. That fifth hole, this is the fourth hole, the long par 3 at Cranston.
Oh, I used to have to sometimes 3-iron into that. What'd you hit?
So it was into the wind. It was playing 210 to the pin, back pin into the wind. I hit my hybrid.
Yeah.
I smoked it, Bill. Smoked it. I hit it pin high, like 18 feet, 3-putted.
Oh, that's got to irritate that. That's a big green, though.
Yeah, it is a big green. Oh, no, I actually 2-putted. I 3-putted the previous hole. So I hit like 4 greens in a row, and I 3-putted one, and then I made 3 pars in a row. So I was actually I had a nice little stretch where I hit 4 greens in a row in regulation.
Did you hit balls before the round, or was it just bags at first tee?
I did a couple putts on the practice green.
Rolled a few.
Didn't really help.
I'm going to go roll a few putts.
Roll a few, yeah. You know what the guy that I play with, he said about, you know, when you join a country club, you can really get good because you can just go out and play a few holes and you don't have to worry about it. And he's like, that's how you get good. Like,
I think it is true. I think when you're just a trunk to the first tee, you never get better.
No.
Yeah, you're going to be 90 all the time.
That's exactly.
I'm fine, but I don't know about you. I want to get better.
I want to get a little better. I'd like to be low 80s.
I'm not going
to
play in club championships, but I want to play like maybe a little competitive or be able to hang with the guys who are low handicappers and not be like, I don't want to play with these guys because I'm going to duck hook
embarrass 75.
Myself. Yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself.
It's fun playing golf. I love playing golf, though.
You like it more and more now. Like this year, you liked it better than last year, don't you?
I think so, yeah. I like it. I do. It's bad. Because I'm at the end. I have nothing to look forward to now.
No.
Till March, maybe. If the weather comes around.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I might be able to sneak in one November round, but most likely that could have been my last round today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're...
With the clocks changing?
No time.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you going to say?
Did I tell you about the MAGA hat on the golf course?
No, the fight?
Yeah, I did tell you about that.
Yeah, you mentioned it, yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
The both members, too, at Sarah Bay?
No, so they have this thing. It's called Stag Day. So it's to try to get members to interact with other people, but you can also bring outsiders.
Okay.
So it's like $80, but it's fantastic. Like, for somebody like you who's not a member, they have drinks and stuff all over the golf course, and then they have a steak dinner when you come in. So you can have beers when you come in, steak dinner, salad, rolls.
Oh, and you play 18 holes and you pay
$80. You play 18 holes. Yeah, I mean, so it's a great deal.
Yeah.
And it's usually packed. Like, it's just meeting people and this and that.
So I guess a guy was wearing a MAGA hat. So two guys, like strangers, got into it. And one of the guys took his MAGA hat out and threw it on the ground and started stomping on it.
That's not very nice.
And I guess the next day, the email came out from the club.
Oh, boy.
Saying, you know, this whole COVID thing, it's, you know, it's kind of making us a little goofy. But if we could please keep the politics at home, like we're coming out here to play golf. Let's enjoy golfing and what it is and leave the politics at home. That's funny, though, don't you wish? If the two of us were in that group, we would have just sat in our cart and just let, right?
You would have started, like, holding up the phone, pretending you were texting somebody. So you could film it.
Live. I'd whisper in the thing, we're live, Jürgen.
We're live, Jürgen. I don't know what's going on.
Two guys are going at it.
You got to be careful. You take someone with a MAGA hat, you don't know if they're packing heat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a dangerous proposition to grab someone's MAGA hat. I wouldn't do that.
I mean, when Trump first ran, my friend, he wore a MAGA hat. He was out in San Francisco on business. Oh, boy. And he said, do you think I have the balls? I said, you're out of your mind, dude. What are you thinking?
That's a bad. All right, let's wrap this thing up here. You know where to follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at WDWBTG. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com, search for WDW Beyond the Gates. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Leave us a review. Subscribe on YouTube, give us thumbs up on our videos, things like that. You can email the show info at wdwbtg.com, Mike at wdwbtg.com, and Gary at wdwbtg.com. Anything else?
Nope. Bring us home, Billy.
That's going to do it for episode number 346 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with Mike and Gary. For my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-R-E.